Lord, we want to thank you and praise you that we can gather with our dear brothers and sisters. We have seen how much you have been gracious to us, that in love and in patience, you continue to reveal your will to us. And so as we gather before you, may you prepare our hearts, that once again we can hear you, to see you, to touch you, and be moved by you. That in these last days, may your work continue, and may we be pleasing to you to be vessels usable by you. We thank you. We know that you have words to speak, and we are willing to wait before you to listen. May you supply us with your presence. We give you all thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' most precious name. Yes, Lord, we want to thank you because you are the eternal God and you are doing an eternal work. You have given us these precious words that teach us to work for eternity. We have received. May you lead us forward. We thank you, Lord. May you gain each one of us, each one of all your precious brothers and sisters. Dear Lord, may we be prepared for your return. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Our precious Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for this grace and this opportunity that we can be gathered with our brother. That the words that you have given to our brother to share, may we come before your presence by your blood. You have given us much grace to speak the words that you want to say. May you not hold back any of your words. Just like Abraham, we want to thank you and praise you. We commit the following time into your hands. And whatever is, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Our dear precious Lord, we want to thank you and praise you. During this time, under the teaching of your anointing, our hearts are truly frequently gained by you. And this is such a precious instruction. Lord, you are returning. May we have this spiritual reality in our hearts as we live before you. May you continue to work. May you continue to gain us, so that you may gain a glorious church. May you continue to bless the work of your hands. May you continue to bless your words, so that we may be gained more by you. We thank you, Lord. We pray and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we truly want to thank you and worship you. You are so faithful, and your presence holds us. You give us this opportunity to gather before your feet. Sometimes we are foolish and confused that we have not loved the light. We have not taken the opportunities you give us to follow you closely. But Lord, we thank you. We again look to you. You cause us to be those with wisdom to see that this time, this generation is an evil one. We thank you for this opportunity to gather before your feet. May your Holy Spirit work in us to speak to our hearts. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' holy name. Lord, we want to give you all thanksgiving and worship from our hearts. As we are waiting before you, we need you to open our ears that we may hear you. And what the Spirit is saying to the churches, that we may hear that. And through your precious words, may you enlighten the eyes of our hearts. May we no longer be in a slumber. May we be awake and alert. I want to thank you for your grace that in these last days, you are gathering us before your feet. May you continue to speak to us. May you breathe upon us. May you continue to remember the work of your hands. We thank you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, we bow down and worship you. You are the true and living God. You have no lie. And as we gather in your name, you are with us. You are truly in our midst. As we consider these things, Lord, our hearts are full of joy. We leap for joy. May you continue to open the eyes of our heart, that as we see, our hearts may be warmed, that we may be strengthened. We may run quickly after you. You are the Lord who causes those to rise from the dead. And you are eternally sitting on the throne. You are establishing your will. You are working your will and shepherding us. Lord, you will cause us to rise from the dead. You want us to see the glory of the coming kingdom. You will gain us. You have chosen us. And you will perfect us. You will build us up. What can hold you back? What can prevent you? We want to praise you. We want to constantly praise you because nothing is impossible with you. Your will cannot be changed. It must be accomplished. Lord, what else can we say? We only can praise you. We can only worship you. Hallelujah. We truly are on this side of hallelujah. We have a glorious hope. Hallelujah, Lord. We know that that glorious day is soon here. We will personally see our Savior. You will descend through the clouds, full of glory, in shining raiment. We do not know how to open our mouths to offer the deepest worship and praise. We want to praise you. This is what you are worthy. You are worthy of all these hallelujahs and praises. We again give them to you. In Jesus' precious and victorious name.
Lord,
we come to you with thanksgiving that you give us this opportunity to be seated before your presence. Lord, may you do the work of separation and sanctify, that your anointing oil and your presence may be brought into this gathering.
And
we are willing to be taught by you. We are reached the end times. We thank you that we still have this opportunity. May no brother or sister lose this opportunity. We know that your kingdom is soon to come. And in these few days, may we truly pursue you. Just as Paul said, that we forget what is behind and reaching on towards what is ahead, we press on towards the goal. This is the last opportunities that you have given us. May you strengthen our weakness. May you give us strength from above so that our feet would not be strengthen our feeble hands and our feet to not fall. We commit this gathering into your hands. May you continue to speak to our hearts, that we bow down before your presence. We give you all the deepest thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Although this is our last gathering, I would still like to separate it into two portions and for brothers and sisters to fellowship. In the first section, we want to summarize what we have not finished fellowshipping on. And then the second half, we will give brothers and sisters opportunities to encourage one another. In this first section, I will again open the time to brothers and sisters. If you have any experience of the leading, of following the anointing, then we give the time to brothers and sisters so that you can fellowship together. I hope that brothers and sisters can take hold of the opportunity and in a few short minutes to share what you have received. So I'll give the time to brothers and sisters. If you have experience, may you not hold back. Because the experiences the Lord has given you is also for brothers and sisters. And we should share with one another. Again, this lifestyle of following the anointing oil is a very fundamental and yet important experience. And so as you share your experience, it can also help other brothers and sisters. It can be a great encouragement. And we hope that in these last days, even as it says in Revelation, that he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We know that during this time, the work of the Holy Spirit is so important, and we need to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we may lose a great blessing. And so if you have any experience, may you share without holding back. So I give the time to everyone. When you speak, don't forget to unmute yourself. Time is precious, so please hold on to the opportunity. I see everyone's faces and everyone seems a little downcast. But let us be free. And so someone can open the time. So I'll start. My name is Tian Shu and I'm from Seattle. Just one simple matter. So recently in the mainland, there was a sister who wanted to listen to the messages online, the Sunday messages. And so I sent a link to her and she told me that she couldn't open the link. And later on, I heard the sister say that our website, the Seattle Christian Assembly, cannot be opened on WeChat. But after you change where the link is placed, then it can be opened. And after I realized this, I told that sister, and And then she didn't answer when I told her about the way to open this link using an alternative method. And she told me a few other things. And that if I sent a few messages on WeChat to be downloaded, that she could receive that. But she didn't answer the messages that I sent about using the alternative method. And it's very easy to let things like this pass by. But in the spirit, there was something saying that I should ask her another question. And I asked her again. I said if she was able to open the link. And then she told me that she didn't know what this what these devices, MP3 devices are. At first, I thought everyone should know, but I was surprised. And I thought that all brothers and sisters were very able. And actually, I didn't even know what it was in English. And so I went and found these devices. I found the top 10 devices found that are used by people in the mainland. And I sent her the link and she went to find it. And then she went to download one. And then she used that method to listen. And then when she did that, she was able to listen. And all these messages on our church website, she was able to hear. And that sister was so happy. And the WeChat, she was saying, thank the Lord. She was full of joy. And it caused me to feel convicted in my heart because her heart, she truly desired to hear. And when she heard that there were so many messages that she could listen to directly, she was so happy that she couldn't fully express with her words. And I felt to myself that I am very able to hear these messages, but do I also have that joy? So that's just what I wanted to share. Any other sharings?
Thank you, Lord. Sun Dixiong, I am from the mainland.
Brother Sun, I am from the mainland. So less than half a year ago, So in the mainland, for about 2 years, there were many things that were blocked. And so in our gathering place, even though we were originally a local church, we did not understand the salvation of the soul. But recently, we have learned many important spiritual lessons. And through this way, we were able to follow the Lord and to realize where we had been wrong. And so now we realize we have to pursue spiritual living. And so I was able to hear many messages from many brothers, words of sound words. And then about half a year ago, I came to know the location of brothers and sisters in Portland.
伯弟兄那里确实受到了很大的帮助。
And I have been greatly helped by the brothers and sisters in, by the messages in Portland. I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us, that we may come to know more of the truth.
感谢主。
We thank the Lord.
我就交通这么多。
That's all I wanted to share. In the past, we did not understand. You know that the local church system was following Brother Ni, but many places, including ours, that it became just like a denomination. That we don't talk about the salvation of the soul or about the cross. We thank the Lord that through here, some of us have come to know and understand to walk on the right way. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you. Is there anyone else? If brothers and sisters, do not feel comfortable sharing, then I won't persuade you. But I hope that in your respective gatherings, that in these aspects, we can have some more fellowship and encouragement. Because this is a very basic spiritual lesson for us. And if we can learn this, then other matters, it will be easier. But upon this point and this lesson, if we did not learn well, then spiritual matters will become very difficult for us. So may the Lord be gracious to brothers and sisters, that we may continue to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in all the ways that He guides us. And so I want to use a bit more time to pick out some of the key points in Colossians and Ephesians. So many times I've already shared that when Paul wrote Colossians and Ephesians, he was speaking of the mysteries of God. He wasn't speaking about some general lifestyle and general living. But Paul was reminding us that Christians need to have a perspective of mystery to look at spiritual matters. And that is very important. If we aren't like Paul, to use this perspective of mystery to see God's work, then the church becomes man's work. And this is what church history has shown us. And we see many gatherings everywhere, that it is all work of human hands, that we do not fully understand the purpose of the church. And so it is very shallow, that there is just a building, there is a pastor, a preacher, a few elders, deacons, a program, and that is our concept of the church today. Now, of course, many brothers and sisters have what they have seen regarding these matters. But as our brothers have shared before, that from the Bible, there is much unknowledge. But if we just stay on this path of knowledge, then there cannot be that spiritual fruit. And so when we look at the church from a spiritual perspective or perspective mystery, then it is completely different. So the way Paul saw the church is different. And today, we need the Lord's grace to also have this perspective of mystery, because this concerns the corporate and also the individual. In our individual spiritual lives, it can become just a way of doctrine or a way of training ourselves, unless we have this perspective of mystery. Without this perspective of mystery, then our condition will be like the condition we see through Christianity, that we use human experiences and what psychologists and what other intellectuals show us, and then we use human wisdom to explain spiritual life, and it turns into just some moral pursuit or some way of self-improvement, but that is not the way. So for a Christian, we must have this spiritual perspective of mystery. It is very important. Now, as we said, in his letters, Colossians and Ephesians, both letters, they show us the center points of the mystery of God, and it is very important. And so, in this last time, let us continue sharing on Colossians and Ephesians. And here we want to thank the Lord. Our God is a God of mystery, and yet he is pleased to reveal this mystery to us. And so in Colossians, we must remember the important word that the mystery of God is Christ. And so through Christ, we are able to understand the mysteries of God. If you do not know the meaning of Christ, then we have no way of understanding God's mysteries. So we thank the Lord. So today we know that the Holy Spirit is in us, and his most important work is to lead us to Christ so that we may focus our eyes on Christ. And as we know Christ, then we understand the mysteries of God. We know that Colossians plus Ephesians, that the greatest mystery, simply speaking, is God's eternal plan, that there's this universal man. The head is Christ, and the body is the church. And in reality, the head is Christ, and the body is also Christ, just like me. My head and my body cannot be divided. And that is why the Holy Spirit continues to do the work to conform us into the image of the Son. And in the end, all brothers and sisters will be changed. And just as he is, so we will be. And then we will be that unity between the body and the head. Brothers and sisters, this is a very important matter. Today, we can see that many of God's children are doing so-called work of the church, but it is too shallow. It is emphasizing outward actions. If you have a lot of money, and you're looking at these different outward matters, but that is too far from God's purpose. And so today we look to the Lord. May he be merciful to us. And may Colossians and Ephesians, this vision that God has given to Paul, that this man in mystery may be clear, this vision may also be clear in us. And in that way, on walking this way of the Lord, our understanding of this meaning is different. And so this is a very important matter. Now, for some younger brothers and sisters,
This may present a difficulty, but do not be worried. Just believe that the Holy Spirit is working in you, because he will do the work, so he must finish it. He will definitely help you to understand it. So, brothers and sisters, we don't have to speak about this in a very mystical or very deep, high way that only a few people can understand. No, God's purpose is for all of God's children to understand. And so when we have been saved by grace, we are all able to understand. May the Lord give us this faith. Now, the New Testament era, we know that the Apostle Paul was used, was an important vessel that God gained. And God wanted to reveal the deepest mysteries in his heart to be expressed through Paul, just in the same way as God had gained Moses. We know that the Pentateuch was such a great revelation. And today in the New Testament, we see that God's work continues moving forward. That from these outward matters, we enter into the reality. We see how God is doing a great change. That in the first century, God gained different people, especially Paul's ministry, to reveal his most important purpose. So I encourage brothers and sisters that you memorize it, but not only that, that you should constantly meditate. And through the leading of the Holy Spirit, may the Lord open our eyes that we may understand his purpose. Brothers and sisters, this is such a precious thing. And so, as I said, if you want to understand Colossians and Ephesians, then from a simple perspective that I am sharing, first understand that when Paul was writing Colossians and Ephesians, he used certain particular words because Paul understood that this burden from God was so great and heavy, and this deep meaning had to be fully expressed. And so Paul could not just use any ordinary words. Now, sometimes when we share, we are more casual with our words, but this is such a heavy matter. We see that it influences God's work on earth. And so he had to use a very serious perspective. And the words and the phrases and expressions he used are very particular. He definitely does not use any word casually or in vain in order to fully express God's purpose. And so as Paul was speaking these words, we don't know what was going on in his mind, but he was writing in faith. I don't know if he may not have known whether brothers and sisters would understand what he was writing, but we thank the Lord that during that time, the churches had a fairly good spiritual condition, especially Colossae and Ephesus. And so Paul had the right audience, and he was able to fully express this revelation that was in his heart. What he had seen about God's eternal purpose, the vision he had seen, and he was able to write it. Of course, he wrote in faith that this was the revelation from the Holy Spirit. And so if Paul realized that if the Holy Spirit wanted him to understand, all people would be able to understand, because this is not something you understand with your natural mind. And so after Paul wrote these words, he put it into the Holy Spirit's hands. As he said when he left, the last time he left Asia Minor, that he committed the church to the Lord. We see that our brother had faith, and by faith he wrote. And today we thank the Lord that through church history, there are many brothers who have received from the Lord. And this revelation that they did not care for other things and they wrote it out. whether or not people understood. And they trusted that it was the leading of the Lord. And these recent years, this also gives me an important reminder. We hear many voices telling us that we have to use words that people can understand to explain the word of God. But is that the case? Brothers and sisters, if... Now, of course, when they say that, their intention is right. But that is not the way by which God uses to pass on his purpose. Just as the Father moved Paul, so he wrote. And today, we must trust the Lord. So many times, I've shared with brothers and sisters that when I was young, at 22, I understood God's purpose. And I trusted that young brothers and sisters can also understand. And so we thank the Lord, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. If the Lord has burdened you to speak, then you should speak in faith. And this is such an important matter. So sometimes we feel that when we say something that others can understand, so we don't say. But no, whether it is to older ones or younger ones, we must faithfully follow the words of the Lord to speak and trust that the Holy Spirit is able to reveal it. So many times, I did the same thing in the past. So how can I fully express these words? But after I say more, do other people understand? Not necessarily. But most importantly, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one teaching. If you are able to understand, it's not because some person explained it well. If you just read the word and everyone understands in their mind, then that is unfortunate. And today, we see that there are many of these discrepancies in spiritual matters. So, brothers and sisters, we should trust the work of the Lord. As I mentioned, Paul wanted to express this mystery that was placed deep in his heart. And so in Greek, he used the greatest superlatives and the words that would best express God's purpose. But as I said, we must have the Holy Spirit enlighten us. So if you are able to understand these key words in Colossians and Ephesians, then you have understood at least half of these books. These are very fundamental aspects. And so this time, we are sharing simply on these books because there's no time for us to speak in detail. So we go over just some of these phrases as an overview. And I hope that this is the encouragement to brothers and sisters. So in the Bible, word study is a very important exercise. By using a word study, you can then continue to a topic study. And so, brothers and sisters, this is an important process in studying the Bible. As I mentioned before, when I was young, I put this specific effort. Of course, it may not compare to what other brothers have done. But as I was reading, for example, the spiritual man, I would read the different phrases. And then I would see how he spent so much work into each, and I feel that I fall short. But regardless, you can still put this effort in. And so I went through every key word in Ephesians. Of course, that doesn't mean that how many I read that I have now great light. But at least by reading this, I understand part of it. And this has greatly influenced my service for the Lord. So I encourage everyone, that if possible, you should do a word study to find some of these keywords in the Bible.
And
so this is a simple method that I could use. And if you are interested, then I hope that brothers and sisters can follow this way. So as we read Colossians and Ephesians, now I assume that in the past, we probably just read it through very quickly in this way. And we have a very rough impression of these books, but you haven't gone deep into it. As soon as you look deeper, you realize that there is an unbounded limit, that the richness cannot be fully expressed in words. And brothers and sisters, for me, that is just like digging a mine with precious materials. And there is so much richness and abundance there. So may the Lord open our eyes for these two letters, because they are so precious. And so last time, we shared some of the phrases that were used in Ephesians. For example, the mystery of the gospel, which speaks about the church. Again, the mystery of God is Christ. If we don't go through the meaning of Christ, then these things also have no meaning. But through Christ, then we realize that behind each word, there is a great mystery. So we've already gone through some of the keywords in the first two chapters. So let us continue. In chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, there is this word one, or unity. This is a word of mystery also, because this oneness. Now, this is a struggle for many, especially preachers, because it says unity, and it's not fully expressed in Chinese. It's not just something that you piece together like puzzle pieces, because outwardly, we are all individuals and we come together. And on earth, we see that many times for this united church, they treat that to mean unity. But a united group is different from unity, right? It's greatly different. So this oneness. So keep this word in mind, oneness. And so it's one. Just as our head and our body, it's one. The character, the element, everything is one. So today, God has given us a new life. And all Christians, no matter what denomination you're from, as long as you are from the Lord, you have this same life. And that is an important foundation. So the church is not pieced together like puzzle pieces. So this oneness is a mystery. And what is amazing? That in this oneness, we don't lose our personalities or our unique features. And so I often tell brothers and sisters that you cannot find something in this world to describe it. It's a oneness And yet, we don't lose our individuality, our characteristics. So, brothers and sisters, this is not a great mystery. Today, we know that this oneness in the church, as it says in Ephesians 4, it mentions seven aspects of one. And so there are things that we all have. So today on earth, just as our sister Pen Lewis said, we must strive for the unity of the Spirit. So whenever we are in the condition in Philippians 2 that we have the unity of the Spirit, that is already a great blessing. We usually only see that during times when there is revival in the church. So today we must hold fast. And one day, when the Lord returns, when God's work is complete, then in this universe, this mystery of oneness will finally be seen. And brothers and sisters, we can only use something that we understand today to share. And so such a word, we haven't understood it yet. If you try to pursue it, you realize that it is so mysterious. And so Paul never explained. And so here, I just want to simply mention it. Now, there is an experience, an example in the Bible. In Revelation, it mentions the lampstands to represent the church. Now, in the Old Testament, how did they make this lampstand? You know how it has seven branches, and there are the buds, and the candles, and the joints. Now, in the Bible, it was crafted from one piece of gold. It was not joined together. It wasn't that you first make a few branches and the joints and then put it together. No. But that golden lampstand, it speaks of the unity or the oneness of the church. This character is only one. So in simple words, first, it is gone through fire. It is hammered into shape. And so that is the work of the cross and the Holy Spirit. And so no human being can do this work. And so the church is the work of God. And so I think I can only speak about that much, or else we will not have enough time. But let's look at another phrase or keyword. In chapter 2, verse 22 of Ephesians, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, in Chinese, you know each word. But do we really understand the meaning? Just look at the condition of the church. So the church is actually the dwelling place of God. Habitation or dwelling. So that's where God has placed his presence. So this is something we didn't understand until after the Brethren movement. The church is not the building. The church is not a physical object. But it is when we are gathered together. That is the habitation of our God today. The Holy Spirit is building us together to become God's dwelling place or habitation. So this word sounds very familiar, but the true meaning behind it, do we truly understand it? If we look at our church condition, do we have that perspective that this is where God dwells through the Holy Spirit? So for example, if we gather together on Sunday, We see the brothers and sisters there. Didn't I mention before? From Paul's eyes, when we look at it, compared to how we look at it, it's a little different. We see many grains of wheat. Paul sees one bread. So brothers and sisters, today you must see that the church is one bread, not many grains of wheat. Most places, we see a bunch of saints gathered together and just many grains of wheat. So we must have this spiritual perspective. And for those of us who live on earth, this seems difficult. But you must understand that this is God's work. If you can remember, if you can believe that the Lord Jesus is your Savior, that is already a mystery. But we use such familiar words, and then we use our mind to understand it, and we thought we understood it. But in the end, Paul says that what he knows, he does not treat as knowing. Brothers and sisters, do you really know? Now, from this perspective, you may say, it is too hard to follow the Lord. True. For the natural man, it is impossible. It is so hard to follow the Lord. But if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, then it is not difficult. So today, this is related to how we may receive the reward in the future. If you use your perspective from the past to look at this and to look at the saints, then you may lose the reward. If you have this spiritual perspective, then the way you pursue is different. There is such a difference. Dwelling place or habitation. You see what Paul said, but later Peter said it too in 1 Peter chapter 2, that the church is a spiritual, a living stones, a living house. It is not some organization. It is not a religious organization. But it is a spiritual or living house. Now, I don't like the word that's used in Chinese. It's a spiritual house. And so a spiritual habitation and spiritual house. So you see, we must spend some time to understand these words. And then when you read the content, it is easier for you to understand what the apostle is saying. So we see that many brothers and sisters, they have been enlightened and they read the word. But today, there are some Bible scholars who read the Bible, and what they see is completely different. And so we see we need so much grace. Now there's another word that I wanted to mention. In chapter 3, verse 16, there is this key word. Now this is difficult to translate in Chinese. According to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so our understanding is that he gives us some strength in our heart. But actually, it's strengthening our inner man. Strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. And so it's your inner man, not just your heart. And so when the translators were writing this, the inner man, they were afraid that this may cause people to be confused. But this is Paul's word. And so we see it is so important. And we also see that in 2 Corinthians, the outer man versus the inner man. We see the difference And so this is also a mystery. We see in 2 Corinthians that we are a new man in Christ. And he was speaking about himself, that his inner man, his condition of his inner man. Because during that time, the Lord had given him so much grace to use these words to explain spiritual matters. We thank the Lord. From the words, from looking just at the words, we don't understand. When the Holy Spirit enlightens us, then we are able to understand. From this inner man, there are many different ways to explain it. And so some say that this is referring to our spirit. But for me, I think that our life, when it is joined to the life of Christ, that is the inner man. Because when you are saved by grace, we have received a new life. And this new life is joined to your life. And you become a new man. And that is your inner man. And so this inner man must be strengthened. And this word strengthened, it seems pretty simple. It means to be strong, right? But there's another good meaning, that the inner man is made, becomes able. We know that outwardly, many people are very able. They have different careers. They are scientists, doctors, professors, experts. Everyone has much ability. Because see, the outward man has been taught much, has been well educated. But what about your inner man? Does your inner man also have ability? So if your inner man has no ability, you are unable to pray, you want to share something, you can't. You can speak anything about the things of the world. You are very well versed. For example, if you ask some of the young people to explain computers, they can explain well. I feel like an elementary student. I can hear it, but I don't understand. And that's because you've been taught. And so your outer man is very knowledgeable. But in spiritual matters, we need the inner man to be strengthened. And so in the past, I spoke to brothers and sisters. We must pursue that the inner man is strengthened to be able, that your spiritual character can receive the spiritual burden. Because God has something to entrust us. He has entrusted us with the church. It is not entrusted upon our outer man. Otherwise, you just turn the church into a mess. Today, Christianity reflects this condition. Everyone is using their natural outer man to try to do spiritual work. And we see the result. And it's very clear. And so when you use human wisdom, human ability, human character to build the church, but we see that Paul tells us that the church is not built using the outward, but the inner man must be strengthened. The inner man becomes more and more able. We see that at the beginning, our outer man may be very strong, but over years, as we pursue the Lord, our inner man becomes strengthened. We are able to discern spiritual matters, that when we do things, when we speak, it is completely different. I think more or less we can understand this. And so we see that when Paul uses these words, there's a spiritual meaning that is a mystery, a word of mystery. If you speak to those who do not know the Lord and you speak about inner man, they have no idea what you're saying. If you go to school and you say that your inner man is very able, they will not know what you mean. They just think that you are very educated, but that is not the case. You must understand what is the inner man. that is so important. So we see how Paul uses these particular words. Now again, if I want to share more about this, we can have a special conference on this topic in order to speak about it more completely. I'm here, I'm just reminding brothers and sisters. So you go and meditate and consider carefully. Now in chapter 3, verse 18, there's another word. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. So notice how it is the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ. And then to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So here, it's speaking of the greatness of Christ, breadth, length, height, and depth. It's something that you can't give a determination of. Do you truly understand? What does it mean to be long? How long is long? It becomes a very abstract word, right? So of course, we know the meaning of the word long, but how long is long? You can't qualify it. When he describes the greatness of Christ, the abundance and richness of Christ, the vastness of Christ, we see that he uses these words, breadth, length, height, and depth. So brothers and sisters, consider it. So how wide is wide? We can open our hands wide, but even that is limited. You can't give a qualification to it, quantify it. So oftentimes we just read over it very quickly. That the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ. So in the past, brothers and sisters would often pray, may we come to know your breadth, length, height, and depth. But when you pray that, do you truly understand it? If you do, this is no simple matter. What is breadth, length, height, and depth? We see that the four aspects, dimensions, and aspects of Christ are all encompassed. It is not a flat surface. It is three-dimensional. So when Paul uses these words, we see how he is so particular. And so even these words, we have considered them. And I often feel, Lord, I am unable, unless the Holy Spirit helps me to see. After so many years, I more and more feel that the vastness of Christ is something that can't be fully comprehended. That he is in an unlimited space. He fills all, and it fills his love. He said this vastness is filled with the love of Christ. So brothers and sisters, is this not a mystery? So today as we study Paul's letters, we must have this perspective of mystery. If you understand these things, then as I said, you have probably understood at least half these letters. Now this is just my way of saying it, that you understand half of it. So now let's jump forward. Let's go to chapter 4. Again, there are many words of mystery. Chapter 4, verse 6. As you know, earlier it was speaking of the seven matters of oneness. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We see that he is over all, through all, and in all. So, can our earthly father dwell in us? No. He can be above us. That is his position. That we understand. But he is through all and in all. So consider it. When Paul wrote these words, what was the feeling in his heart? But this is, brothers and sisters, this is because he had this spiritual sight. So today we say Heavenly Father. Often we pray Heavenly Father. And sometimes I feel that the prayer is so far away, that the Heavenly Father is in such a high place. And we loudly proclaim, Heavenly Father. But brothers and sisters, you don't need to shout so loud as if the Heavenly Father is so far away, because he is in you. Do we believe that? We know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. We know that the Lord Jesus is in us, but the Father is in us. This is what it says, Paul, this is the mystery in John 14, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that God is not far from us. Unfortunately, today, when we pray, many people pray, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, but it seems that there's not a very strong or deep or close relationship with the Father. So this is something we must understand. And we see that this is something very special, not something that you understand just by looking at the literal words. Next, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to measure of Christ's gift. So this gift, this word, is another word that is often misused in the church. We see that the gift that Paul is saying, that there's a division. It is not a natural ability. Many times in the church, we emphasize natural abilities. That you're very able to speak, you're very good at singing. We often focus on these outward things. Now, of course, some older brothers have also explained that your natural gifts can be, natural abilities can be turned into spiritual gifts. For example, someone who used to only sing worldly songs, over time, they switch to singing hymns. And that's the meaning, that the more you use these things, that this natural ability turns into a gift. Now, I think that's through what we see. This is what we see. And there does seem to be a bit of that meaning. But this gift that Paul is saying is different from natural ability. That you see it is completely different. Because when the Son ascended on high, this is what he gave to us from the Father. And so this is so real to me. I've shared many times with brothers and sisters that when I was young, that I was slow in speech, without eloquence. And it was a difficult thing for me to be a preacher. But after speaking 50-some years, I realized that this is the gift that God has given me. I don't have any eloquence, but when the Lord gives me a word, I am able to say it. And truly, I thank and praise the Lord for this. Sometimes I look at different brothers and sisters and I see that they are so eloquent. But when you send them onto the podium, they aren't able to speak. Isn't it strange? And so, brothers and sisters, this gift is different from natural ability. Additionally, there's something else very special here. In verse 11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now, a pastor is a shepherd. And even elders are treated as shepherds in the Bible. And yet this has caused such hurt to service in the church. We see here that God has given some as apostles, some as prophets. And some are evangelists, some are pastors, some are teachers. But God has treated these people as gifts to the church. And that is such a great mystery. And these gifts, what is the result? The equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Look, the church needs this body ministry. And so when God gives us these gifts, it isn't to express yourself, to promote yourself. In Christianity, we see so many people using gifts as ways of self-promotion, to give fame to themselves. But we see that God did not give us these gifts for this purpose, but it is for the building up of the body of Christ. So I think this is something we must understand in God's word. And then, starting from chapter 4, verse 17, we see different matters of spiritual living. And so you must understand that all these matters of living, starting from verse 17, is a life that has been managed by this mystery. Please remember that. If possible, you should write it in your Bible that starting in verse 17, all this description is under the mystery. It is governed by this mystery. How to follow Christ. And it speaks of different ways of living out the new man, living out a right lifestyle. Brothers and sisters, these matters of living are not what we assume spiritual living. So today, many Christians, after they are saved, they start following what is this living that is taught by the Bible, but that is pursuing the wrong thing. When you pursue these things, it feels like you're just, it's just a matter of self-improvement. But this is not what the church is for. This is not what the Bible is. But we see this condition everywhere. Many times, people will share about someone's love, someone's humility or meekness. And this seems like a good thing. But in my heart, I feel that there is a sigh in my heart that this is all natural expressions, not truly from the Lord's heart. There's such a difference. But do you have that discernment? So brothers and sisters, we need the Lord's grace. If you have this discernment, then the church's spiritual condition will improve. This is something we must understand today. There's another important point and a reminder. In chapter 4, verse 30, it mentions the day of redemption. This is another great mystery in this universe. That God's work has a day. And this should be a very important reminder for us. We know that today God has kept a mystery in time that no one knows. The Lord Jesus said that on that day, no man knows, not the angels, not the Son, only the Father who is in heaven. So brothers and sisters, this is the one thing, the one secret that the Father does not allow us to know. But there is this day. There is a day. Just like when you're studying in school, right before graduate, you will graduate. But here, this day is hidden within God's creation. Next, in chapter 5, we know that during marriage, many people, in weddings, people use these verses. Paul speaks of the relationship between husbands and wives. All of a sudden, his words seem to turn a direction. You see that the words here are very unique. In verse 32 of chapter 5. So he mentions the man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And suddenly, next verse, this mystery is great. This mystery is great. And so we see many Christians get married. So what's the mystery? So what is Paul seeing that's different? So when we see the husband and wife getting married, but Paul saw something different. So for most people at a wedding, they see that the bride is very beautiful and that this was a good wedding. The food was good. So we just attend a wedding and that's it. But very few brothers and sisters see the mystery. But Paul sees a mystery. Is that not unique? Now, of course, usually we explain that the Lord and the church is this love, is this relationship of love of husband and wife. And so the body is built upon this foundation of love, and that this is the closest relationship. Now, of course, loving the Lord, drawing near to the Lord, they're all good things. And they're things that we should have. Even back in chapter 1 of Ephesians, as he's speaking about the church, in Ephesians, that we know that they have that first love. There's this relationship of love, which is very important. And indeed, as we read the Bible, we probably have heard this, that the entire Bible starts with a wedding and ends with a wedding or a marriage from Adam and Eve at the beginning to the end, which is the lamb and the bride. So we see that God's will, from this perspective, it is speaking of this great mystery of this marriage within the universe. So brothers and sisters, when we look at human marriage, we see that the meaning behind it is so important. And so we must honor this marriage, that God's children cannot look lightly on it. This is a great and important reminder. And so again, we see that these words that Paul uses, they all have this particular meaning behind them. Now, because of time, I will jump to chapter 6 and just mention a few. Starting in verse 10, in chapter 6, we know that it speaks of spiritual warfare, the full armor of God. And I think that, we don't know, now I think that the topic of the armor of God has been spoken of so many times in the pulpit. We are all familiar with it, that we must put on this armor of God. This battle that is spoken of, the original language, this struggle is a wrestling. And again, we see that words that Paul uses, that the translators don't always feel comfortable using the same words. Have you ever seen wrestling? Wrestling is two people grasping each other. And it is a battle of strength. You hold on to someone, you do not let go. So, brothers and sisters, no wonder. Now, I like what's sometimes I like the Chinese translation. That in the evil day. Now, in the Chinese, it sounds like you're also taking the ink and so it gets the image of you and Satan grasping and wrestling. And so each difficulty is, it goes through time. And it says that we are wrestling against the one who is hidden. That we are fighting against what is unseen. So, brothers and sisters, this is the fight in the church. And yet we know that we also have, there's also the authority of God. Because the power of God is there, holding all things. So today we must understand that fighting this spiritual warfare, the tragedy is that God's children are all fighting the battles of the flesh. And so we're just fighting with other brothers and sisters. Now, when you fight brothers and sisters, it becomes very fierce. Now, our enemy is Satan. It is not our brothers and sisters. Now, sometimes, brothers and sisters can be used by the enemy. But how should we fight? We must chase away the devil. But we see the tragedy in the church. And I've often heard, even when I was young, that we must lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And yet in these tens of years, we see that there are many fighting. There are few who give up, lay down their lives. So we need the Lord's mercy. We must realize we are fighting a spiritual warfare. We aren't fighting other people. So we must put on this full armor of God. So this is a battle of the entire church. It is not an individual. You aren't putting on the armor for yourself. We often understand it wrong. We often hear people say, you must put on the full armor. So you put on this helmet, you put on the breastplate. But no, Paul's words must be used accurately. It is a perspective of mystery. And this armor of God is for the church. They aren't material things, they're spiritual things. And so older brothers have also shared. Many times, we see that there are some brothers who go to help others. And for example, it's as if you're bringing helmet, or you're bringing the belt or the breastplate to others. But no matter what, the words that Paul uses here, you must use the perspective of mystery to look at it. It's not something that you just understand with your mind. And so in Paul's letters, from chapter 1 through Paul to chapter 6, we see that Paul used many words. Now, of course, you can find more key words or phrases. So brothers and sisters, I hope you can understand. So I've gone through a quick overview and just a direction for you. And so these important words in Colossians and Ephesians, May you understand them carefully. And then you have a deeper understanding of these two letters. And so my sharing can only reach up to here. So following, there's a bit more time. And I wanted to have some mutual encouragement. So why is the meeting ending today? It's not any particular reason for anyone telling me to end. There's no other meeting, but just that I have this feeling. We started in 2010. It's been 10 years, and I think that should be it. At this pursuit meeting, that it's not easy to have 10 years already. And these 10 years, I think there are some who started from the beginning to the end. And even though 10 years is not a long time, but it's also not short. You know that many young brothers have become young men or strong men. And then those who are young men or strong men have become older ones. So we know that many changes have occurred in these 10 years. We thank the Lord that together we can have this pursuit before the Lord. Now I hope that even though the meeting has passed, the pursuing does not end. That individually, you should continue to pursue the Lord. We thank the Lord that in these 10 years, the Lord allows us to touch a few matters in the Bible that are touching the central points of God's purpose. So not just about shallow matters, but these very important, deep matters. I remember from the beginning until now, there were probably 10 major points. We started. Now, before 2012, in Seattle, we had the brothers' meeting, and we had that for about 7 or 8 years. But afterwards, we changed it to be available to all brothers and sisters. So if you still remember, one of the earliest topics we pursued was returning to the beginning. You know that only the beginning, following the beginning to the will of God is accurate. And so I hope brothers and sisters remember this, that when it comes to the Lord's matters, we must go back to the beginning. The second, we spoke about 3 points: vision, calling, and ministry. And we spent much time on these three things. And I hope brothers and sisters still remember. Now, the third part, we started speaking about a full comprehensive understanding of the way of the cross. And we spent a long time to pursue this. And I believe brothers and sisters still have an impression. In the middle, we read several books, spiritual books by different brothers. And I hope that you all have some impression. Now, when we come to 2021, we started the fourth section, which is this section. And our key focus is Philippians 3:12, what Paul said, so that I may gain Christ, just as Christ has gained him, that we can pursue being gained more by Christ, or that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. We know that when you lay hold of Christ, that all these outward things do not matter. And Peter was the same. What is the salvation of your souls? That, or your soul is changed because you are more gained by the Lord. Today, our goal must be that for the Lord to lay hold of us or to gain us. It isn't that you get increased relationships, usefulness, outward circumstances, etc. Those things can all pass away. Only your inner man being gained or laid hold of by the Lord. That is real. We know that the Lord's return is soon. May the Lord give us this long-standing desire that we offer ourselves to the Lord. And we say to the Lord, Lord, may you lay hold of more of me. Just as the Lord had gained Paul, Peter, and John, may he also lay hold of us. Brothers and sisters, there are not many Christians who emphasize this. Many emphasize outward things, the work, messages, sermons, going to many places. And we thought that by doing that, we are serving. Now, if you did all these things, but the Lord does not have a place in you, then consider it. What kind of condition is this? One day you go before the judgment seat. I have already spoken many times that if you can be gained by the Lord, that is what the Lord truly desires, not the gifts, not the work. So may the Lord be gracious to us. If we look at it this way, then we don't have to be envious that others have great abilities, gifts, knowledge. But what we should desire is that we may be gained and laid hold of by the Lord in the same way. In that way, all brothers and sisters can pursue the Lord. If we said that you have to pursue to be like Peter, then you will. How can you preach like Peter that you preached and 3,000 people saved, 5,000 people saved? There's no one who is as good as Peter, except for one, Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh. He only spoke one word, and the entire city of Nineveh repented. You know how many people were there? There were six million people there. In history, no one had preaching who was as effective as that. But then see what happened to Jonah himself. And so recently I preached on the book of Jonah. And we see that it's easy for God to do the work. So in the later years, Peter never boasted about his preaching. But God wants to see whether this person is laid hold of by the Lord. If the person is not changed, then all these outward things, that they don't matter. There's no meaning. And so following these four lines we have been sharing, that we must have good spiritual habits. This requires warfare for the spiritual habits to be changed. And the second, that we must be familiar with the word. Third, we must obey and follow the leading of the Holy, leading of the anointing. And four, we must take the examples of those who have gone before us. We aren't following these people who serve. We aren't their disciples. We are disciples of the Lord. But the Lord has used these brothers who went before us to help us, and we acknowledge them, their faithfulness to the Lord. This you can honor and respect, but you don't follow that person. Today, we know there are many brothers who have been used by the Lord, and we should accept from them, but we must be careful. And so we've spoken about four matters. And finally, I want to summarize it in saying, so what is the expression, what is the result when we are gained or laid hold of by the Lord. How do we know that we have been laid hold of by the Lord? So I will use my own experience as a quick, a simple encouragement to brothers and sisters. If your mind becomes more like the mind of Christ, more like the Lord, it shows that you have been laid hold of by the Lord. Because our living is very much governed by our mind. Now, as you encounter more things, do you use the mind of Christ to deal with these different matters? If you do, it shows that you have been gained by the Lord, that you have improved. Now, if we make this more general, what is the mind of Christ? Simply speaking, it is the mind of the Bible. In church history, we see that many, as they were reading the Bible, that they were their thinking was governed by the Bible. So they don't just study the Bible. They don't just read it into their minds, but they let the mind of the Bible change their minds. So, brothers and sisters, this should be easy to understand. This is how you are taught, educated. There's this word called brainwash. It's not a political brainwashing, but we should allow our brains to be washed by the Lord, and then they're usable by the Lord. If your brain has not been washed, you come out. For example, if you go study, if your brain hasn't been washed, you can't be a doctor. And so when you study the word, you must cause the mind of the Bible to become your mind. If you use the mind of the Bible, this perspective from the Bible to look at different things, then that is the mind of Christ. Because our Lord's mind is completely in line with what is in the Bible. In fact, he is the center point of the mind of the Bible. And so as you read the Bible, your mind becomes the mind of Christ. So what is the mind of Christ? Now, Paul has truly received grace. In chapter 2 of Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
So,
this word can also be translated as his way of thinking. And so when something happens, it naturally comes out from you. It's not that something happens and you're trying to think. How would Christ think in this matter? And so this is the mind of Christ. And so if you don't have the mind of Christ, then it's easy for two people to argue. There are two people, for example, who love the Lord, and yet when they meet each other, they start fighting. And we see it even in the Church of Philippians how that happened. It says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And so that happens because our minds are different. We have different opinions or viewpoints. And when we encounter each other, we start arguing and debating. But if you have the mind of Christ, then naturally you have oneness or unity. So we've also said that the mind of Christ in chapter 2, that Paul used one simple point to describe the life of Christ and the way of enacting the way of truth. So do not look lightly upon this passage in Philippians. So in the past, when I studied this passage, I felt that this was such an important part. that many times Christians don't understand. And so from that point, I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity to speak on this every year. And so I've shared about it in Minneapolis. And after all these years, perhaps because my message was a sermon, you may have forgotten it. But we must allow our minds to be changed. You see that when we fellowship with each other, we realize just how strong our own mind is. And we often want other people to have the same mind as our mind. But no, we must all have the same mind as Christ, which is a way of a mind of the cross, one of humility. The more you have the mind of Christ, the more you lower yourself. If you are still so hard, if you are still insistent, that is not the mind of Christ. And so when Jesus was on earth, he was so humble. And today, we must pursue this to have the same mind. So whenever your mind is changed, the more your mind is like the Lord's, then it shows that the Lord has laid hold of more of you. And so that is the first important thing. Next, when a person learns to act according to the Holy Spirit, that in every matter he follows the Holy Spirit. And it shows that this person has been gained by the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit only brings us before Christ. The Holy Spirit only builds the character of Christ in us. And all the teaching of the Holy Spirit, in every change in our actions, it is to change our character. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is doing the work of changing us. And so in his late years, John wrote about the teaching of the anointing. It is so fundamental. It is so foundational. And as I have shared many times, this is what the church on earth has very much lost. If on this point we do not learn well, then there is very limited spiritual fruit. And you cannot expect much of a reward in the future. And so in our living, obeying the teaching of the anointing, it shows us that when we do that, it shows that we have been gained by the Lord or laid hold of by the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit's teaching upon each person is different. We don't have to copy it. When we are young, we try to follow different older brothers. But now as we think about it, it sounds really funny. For example, if there was a sister that wore a certain dress, others would start wearing the same thing. And for example, there was a time when no sisters dared to wear anything other than a dress. And for so many years, it followed the same thing. And if you wore something else, did that mean that you're not spiritual? But no. It's only because the Holy Spirit taught that person and then they changed their lifestyle in that way. And so each person has a different individual experience because the Holy Spirit's work has many aspects. He doesn't want to give us all a uniform. The Holy Spirit's leading in each person is unique. It is individual. So even though we feel incapable, but even if there is some great preacher, for example, what you experience in the Holy Spirit, he cannot experience. So T. Austin Sparks when he was gathering in Honor Oak in London, there was another small gathering with 30 or 40 brothers and sisters. And they went to Tiasen Sparks once, and they said, "Hey, can we be considered part of your range?" And Tiasen Sparks said, "No, that is not according to truth." He said he was in London, but you're in a suburb or outskirts of London. How can we do? I don't fully understand the situation that's there. So he understood that this is something that could not be done because he understood the unity in the church. And so we see someone who may have some experience in the Lord and we may be envious of it. But we may be envious of what Paul experienced. But what Paul one day will say is that what we have experienced in our life is something he has never experienced. So each brother and sister, his experience is important. So you don't need to be jealous of someone else. Just follow the Holy Spirit in you and in the radius of your life, and just learn the lesson. And brothers and sisters, that is what you gain. So a person, he doesn't become more spiritual by copying someone. But the more he follows the leading of the Holy Spirit, that shows that that the Lord has laid hold of that person more. And so I already mentioned to be gained by the Lord. So this is such an important matter. Today, we know that the Holy Spirit is in us. He is our teacher. He is our master. I'm going to use a simple word to encourage, to remind brothers and sisters that our spiritual life is being, that there is a master leading us. Remember that. That the Christian life has a master who leads. Now, I've already mentioned that, for example, a person who sings, wherever he goes, he takes the master with him or her. So he will first say something. And so he would always wait for the master before, or the teacher before he sings. And so today, the Lord is so gracious to us. We like to have people to be our teachers, but we should be, and then it's unfortunate when we don't follow the Holy Spirit. So when I was young, I treated different people as my teachers, and however they prayed or read the Bible, I would do the same thing. I would copy them. And I would think that all these older brothers, that it was so great to be able to follow them. But years later, I met an older brother. And I said, "When you were young, you never taught me anything." And that older brother said, "Thank the Lord." He said, "If I had taught you, then that would be a most serious matter." Brothers and sisters, this is the case. One of our difficulties today is we like to be other people's teachers. We like to teach young people to do this and this and that. But you must be careful. What is the most important thing? You must bring people to the Lord. So as I mentioned, there is an older sister who was very careful to follow the Holy Spirit. She was very familiar with the Bible. And so many sisters would go before her and ask her to explain some passage. And that sister would say, that she does not know how to. And they would say, how can you not know? And that sister would say, have you been saved? They said, yeah, I've been saved, say, 30 some years. And is the Holy Spirit in you? Of course. Then she said, it's simple. Go back and ask the Holy Spirit. And she would answer in that way every time. We see how our sister understood this meaning. But I've made a mistake before, that some brother brings the Bible to me and asks me to explain, and I immediately try to explain. And it's as if I understand this passage. But brothers and sisters, my explanation can never achieve to what the Holy Spirit can explain. And even after all these years, there are things that I'm not familiar with. But what causes me to get the most help is to read the Bible and the Holy Spirit to enlighten me. Brothers and sisters, this is not something special. This is a very fundamental thing. So remember, when you follow the leading of the anointing, you must bring the master with you wherever you go. As John said, when he was following the teaching of the anointing, it was to abide in the Lord. And that means you live with the Lord each day. Do you feel that you are living with the Lord each day? Many times, many Christians only see people around them, spouses, children, brothers, sisters. They never feel that they are with the Lord. And so, teaching of the anointing is very much a lost truth today. If you have more and more of the teaching of the anointing, he is correcting us, but he is also teaching and instructing us. Then it shows that this person has been gained or laid hold of by the Lord. Don't worry about if others have been gained by the Lord, but have you? Has the Lord laid hold of you? As it says in John, that Peter asked, Lord, what about this man? And yet we are so much like Peter. We ask, Lord, what about this person? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Please remember these words. And so finally, I wanted to encourage brothers and sisters that even though this meeting ends, I want to make this summary. We don't know what will follow in the days ahead. The meeting can end, but the pursuit, may that not end. That even after these 10 years, the little strength that we have, we may pursue the Lord. May I push you to continue forward. For me, I must continue forward. It doesn't mean that at this meeting ends that I end, but may the Lord be gracious to me that I can continue to go deeper, to have more opportunity to consider the word of the Lord, to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit, to understand more of the meaning of Christ. And may we encourage one another. I believe we will have many opportunities to meet, to fellowship. If the Lord doesn't give us another opportunity, at least we will meet together when we are at the throne one day. So may the Lord encourage brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord that these 10 years truly were by the Lord's grace. And I confess that what I can give brothers and sisters is very limited. But may we pursue the Lord together. That when the Lord's kingdom descends, we may all be there. May the Lord bless brothers and sisters. And so this ends our meeting. Let's have some further words of prayer. if the Lord moves you, please do not quench the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let us bring all of our conditions before the Lord. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you give us this opportunity to pursue together. May our hearts be pulled to what is important. May it not just be some head knowledge, but may our hearts truly be captured. May you help us that our inner man may be built up, that we may receive the burden that you have given us, entrusted us. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, once again, we offer ourselves into your hands. We thank you for the leading that you have given us. May we love light. May you once again speak to us these words as we are by ourselves. May you living, leading work in us. May you give us this righteous perspective to look at things, that you may gain more of us. We commit all our pursuits before you. May you lead your church. May you be merciful to your church. May you be merciful to all of us. And may we meet before your throne. We thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you because all is your grace. That in these past 10 years, our brother, that we could pursue with our brothers. We know that this time may pass, but your words will not pass. You are continuing to work. May you continue to work in all, in every place, and in every brother and sister. That in these last days, we trust that you are the victorious Lord. May you cause our eyes to be opened, that we may truly see the richness of the mystery, and may we pursue after you. We commit ourselves into your hands. May you lead our way forward as we follow you, that you may truly lay hold of us. In Jesus' name. Lord, we truly want to give you all thanksgiving and praise. In these past 10 years, you have been building us up with our brother in these past 10 years. Lord, it is truly your grace. We want to give you all thanksgiving and worship for these 10 years. We thank you for these words that you have given us. It is truly the foundation of our lives. May we walk in a way that is pleasing to you and give you all thanksgiving and praise. May the pursuit of these 10 years not be in vain. May you lay hold of us to build up your church. We give you all thanksgiving. And we commit our elderly brother into your hands. That may you continue to lead your children everywhere. And in our brother's years forward, that he may continue to bring your words to your church, to your people. We thank you. May you hold up the people around you everywhere. We give you all glory. and what we have learned. May these things become real in our daily lives. We thank you. We give you all glory. In Jesus' holy name.
Lord,
we thank you. We praise you. Today, you have spoken through our brother that we need the teaching of the anointing, the indwelt Holy Spirit. We want to gain, lay hold of what the Lord wants to lay hold of us. We aren't looking at other people. Just like Paul, that his knowledge could not increase anything of him. But he had a burden, which was to preach to the uncircumcised. Just as the Lord had entrusted Peter to preach to those of the circumcision. So we do not want to look at people. But before the Lord, we are grateful that there are so many brothers who have helped us. Lord, may the teaching of the anointing work in us, that we follow the anointing oil. And in the end, what you want us to lay hold of, may we gain you yourself. That is the greatest goal. We give you all thanksgiving and praise. May you bless your words. May you remember your servants. We thank you. We praise you. May you bless the church. Bless each brother and sister to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit closely. Then in these last days, you may build up your church, your body, as a living house, a spiritual house, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, we praise you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we worship you, we thank you that in these 10 years we can have this fellowship.
Lord,
we truly have enjoyed the riches in your body, that together with brothers and sisters we can receive the glory of this inheritance in light. Lord, whether it is this generation or the next generation, may we all be fellow saints. May it really pass on. We thank you. We also ask that these words may be like seeds. Even though the meeting ends here for now, the God who causes the increase, that you may cause these words to bear fruit one day. Truly, we only have one desire, that we may be perfected in your will, and we may gain, lay hold of what you want us to lay hold of. And may we also be laid hold of by the Lord. The work that you have begun in us, you will complete. May you prepare your people so that we may wait for your glorious appearing. We give you all worship and adoration for this glorious hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all worship. The times of reaching the end. We have but a few days to wait for your return. Know that it is
the last days, and you are, and you hope to gain more, and that more people may be laid hold of by you. May you continue to work in our lives. Even though the words that we can say are very limited, but your grace, your blessing is sufficient. We commit all brothers and sisters into your hands, that in this little time that is left, may we be led by the Holy Spirit, that you may gain more of us. And so, may the Holy Spirit of truth hold fast all these words in our hearts. Lord, we thank you, because the church is yours, the work is yours, the people are yours. You do not stop your work. And you remember, just if we have just a little desire, and may we have the right condition that on the day that you return and the kingdom descends, we may all joyfully be there. We thank you for these past years in our weakness, in our poverty. You have given us this richness. We can only give you all thanksgiving, praise, and worship. We thank you. We know that your word does not end, and you will continue to accomplish your glorious will. We give you all thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' precious name. So here ends the meeting.